Would you remain standing as you're able for the reading of the Word of God? It comes to us this morning from Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, beginning in verse 21. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. It's the word of God for the people of God.
You
may be seated. You know, our name is a big part of our identity. For instance, when I was born, I was given the name Benton Caldo Martin. And Benton is my mother's maiden name, my grandparents' name. Caldo was my father's first name. It had also happened to be the last name of his great-grandfather. And of course, Martin was my father's family name and his father's before that. So our name says we belong to a particular family. And with it, its history, maybe even its reputation. That name may give us instant credibility or questionability. It may create expectations for us to live up to or to overcome. Which is why, for example, these days, hardly anybody I know names their child Jesus. Or Judas, for that matter. And while our name gives us an early sense of identity and belonging, over time, it will be our lives that give identity to our name. We have very few stories about Jesus from his birth to his baptism, the beginning of his ministry at about 30 years old. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at a few glimpses that we have in the Gospels into his early childhood and his adolescence. Each of them, I think we'll see, are laying a foundation for his life, his identity, his sense of belonging, and his purpose. The first one we read about this morning, it happened 8 days after his birth when Mary and Joseph take this miracle baby in keeping with their Jewish religious tradition to give him a name and to circumcise him. Then just a few short weeks after that, they're going to take him to the temple to present him before the Lord. Because the law said every firstborn male was holy to the Lord or was set apart for God. They belonged to God. In the simplest of terms, you might say that his journey into who he is begins by being named and claimed. Those are the two words we're going to focus on today. He was named and claimed. Though Jesus was a relatively common name in his day, Mary and Joseph didn't get to pick his name out of a baby book of popular names these days. Neither did they even get to name him after a family name. Much like the story of John the Baptist, you might remember, the angel told them what to name him. And when they named him John, all the people said, "Why did you name him John? Nobody in your family's named John. Why don't you name him after his father?" But the angel had given him a name, much like the angel gave Jesus a name. So the first religious ritual or rite of passage was to give him a name, and they called him Jesus. The name given by the angel before he was born. Yeshua. It meant Yahweh is salvation, or God saves. And while his name gave him some family identity, because he was Jesus, son of Joseph, who was also son of David, you remember the trip to Bethlehem, because he was of the lineage of David, it was what he did with his life that ultimately gave identity to the name Jesus. Jesus, the name above all names, the only name by which we must be saved. Jesus, God saves, the Bible said, possibly the most recognized name on the planet. But in the beginning, it wasn't his name that distinguished him. It would be his life that distinguished what was otherwise before just a common name. In a much smaller way, all of us are faced with that challenge. To let our life give identity to our name. To set our name apart by the way that we live. At the same time he was named, came his circumcision. Once again, it was a religious ritual and rite of passage that would give him a sense of belonging. This time, not to a particular family, but this connected him to a covenant people. It marked him as a child of promise, part of God's chosen people, not just a son of Mary and Joseph, but a son of Abraham, an Israelite, the member of a larger family that was set apart by God and set apart for God. So these acts were the beginning of the forming of Jesus' identity, long before he was ever aware of it. Who he is, how he would understand himself and his purpose was being shaped by his history, by God's promise, by religion and ritual. Then 32 days after that naming and circumcision, Mary and Joseph would take the short journey from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to the temple. The next step in shaping who he is called his presentation. It is just like it sounds. He is presented to God. An offering, symbolically reminiscent of the story of Abraham and Isaac, whose son was to be offered up to God. The offering of the firstborn son, who instead was redeemed by a lamb. Centuries later, God gave Moses and Israel the command of the law that said, every firstborn belonged to God. They were holy, set apart. In the simplest of terms, God claimed him as his own that day. His life belonged to God. In the ritual, like Isaac on the mountain, he is redeemed that day or bought back by a sacrifice. In Mary and Joseph's case, it was a pair of doves. It was the sacrifice for common people or poor people. But for Jesus, it was more than that. It was a sign or a symbol of things to come. John the Baptist would later say at his baptism, I saw the Holy Spirit descend upon him like a dove. The dove was a symbol of peace, quite an appropriate offering for the Prince of Peace, whose life bought peace between God and humanity by his own sacrifice. He was given over to God for the salvation of the world. But at the same time that Jesus is presented to God and redeemed by this sacrifice, God in turn is entrusting this child to the care of his earthly mother and father. So Jesus' protection, his identity, his understanding of who he is, his faith, his character, his purpose would now be their responsibility. Theirs and the family of faith he was a part of. You might say for Mary and Joseph, birthing Jesus was but the first challenge. Bringing the Word made flesh into the world. But raising Jesus into the man God was calling him to be was the lifelong challenge. It became, in this presentation, their responsibility and their accountability. All of this was the beginning, preparing his life for what lie ahead of him, shaping his identity. That day he was named, he was claimed, he belonged to a family, he belonged to a covenant people, he belonged to God. And all of us know having a sense of belonging in this life is important to us. Jewish life and ritual reflected the importance of recognizing the sacredness of life from birth to death. The presence of God in all of life. It reminded them of who they are, who God is, and how those two are inextricably connected. The Shema spelled it out. Deuteronomy 6 defined it for them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you rise up and when you lie down. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorpost of your house. Remember who you are, and remind them as you raise them who they are. While the danger of religious ritual is always that it can turn into a mere formality, sometimes even a social or family practice, a function of what we might call traditionalism, what Yaroslav Pelikan defined as the dead faith of those now living. But those same religious rituals can be powerful parts of tradition, what Pelikan calls the living faith of those now dead. These rituals bring a sacredness to life, and it starts at the beginning. In Christian tradition, baptism is the first ritual of belonging. It's a tradition that finds its roots in the Jewish traditions of naming, circumcision, and presentation. Some people refer to this as christening, which is not baptism, but the tradition of giving what was once called a Christian name. In some traditions, christening is a part of baptism. The question is asked a family, what name is given to this child? The question marks their belonging to a particular family. And then comes baptism. Another mark of belonging, but this time to a larger family, to a covenant people, a new covenant people, a part of the body of Christ that we call the church. And finally, you could say that baptism is an act of presentation, presenting a child to God, an acknowledgement that this child belongs to God. But Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, has redeemed the child. And this child is offered back into the arms and the responsibility and the care of this family and this church to shape their identity in Christ, their faith, their character, their purpose. So baptism, you see, is more than a mere formality. It is a sacred moment of being named and claimed, of accepting responsibility for a child, and in it we are acknowledging we are now accountable for this child that belongs to God. Like Jesus, having the foundation of His identity in His name, in circumcision and presentation, as Christians, our identity is grounded in our baptism. It is here, at this font, this altar, this water, that we are named and we are claimed as children of God. It feels good to be named. We all like to have a name. I mean, one of the first things we teach our children when they're learning to write is how to write your name. I mean, we monogram it on their clothes, their name, their initials, before they ever know what that means. It's not because we think we're going to lose them. It's because we want them to be proud of their name. And we're proud. They're connected. Their name connects them to us. It also feels good to be claimed. And it is painful not to be. Because for us to be claimed means we are wanted. We're valued. To hear, this one is mine. I mean, don't you remember how it was when we were kids and they started picking teams? To have your name called, to be claimed that we were wanted? We also know how it feels to not have your name be called. To not be claimed. I mean, if you're here today, it is quite possible that maybe you were adopted. In an adoption, what a family says is, we claim you. We value you. We give you our name, our love. You become our responsibility, our family. That's what Joseph did for Jesus that day. He was named Jesus, son of Joseph, and he raised him, loved him, protected him, taught him, claimed him as his own, all the while knowing he belonged to God. Growing up is never easy, is it? It's a challenge for all of us. One of the worst days of my life, and yet one of the most powerful memories, had to do with being claimed. To make a long story short, one night I was arrested, taken to the police station. It was late. They called my father on the phone, who had probably never been in a police station in his life. And they asked him if I was his, and if he wanted to come down there and claim me. Now, he probably should have left me there, but he didn't. He got up in the middle of the night and he came down there, even though I had embarrassed him and disappointed him. Put a mark on his name. And he was still willing to say, he is mine. Now, I can't say that he put a ring on my finger and a robe on my back and killed a fatted calf when we got home. But he claimed me. He claimed me when he didn't have to, when he could have said, I don't really know who you are anymore. Because I didn't know who I was anymore. That night, my father shaped me as a parent without my knowing it. But he also taught me something about my Heavenly Father. It was not so long after that that I had to remember who I was. You know, we forget along the way, like prodigals, sometimes we wander far and wide from home and the Father, and sometimes it takes a long time to come to our senses and come back home. See, my daddy was not the only one to claim me when he didn't have to. When I was a baby, Ed Carruth baptized me at Lyons Methodist Church at an altar just like this. 26 years later, I wandered back home to that same church full of guilt and regret from the far country. And Carl Bishop was the pastor who reaffirmed my baptism. He put that water on me and he reminded me of who I am, a child of God who is beloved. And while I had wandered from the Father, he said the Father had never wandered from me because I was named and I was claimed. I still need to be reminded of this pretty often. So this morning, once again, we come back to these waters of baptism, back to this place where many of us may not have a memory, but we have a knowledge that we were named and claimed. And we come back to hear those words once again. Remember who you are, a baptized child of God, and be thankful. You are named. You are claimed by your Heavenly Father. No matter what you've done, no matter how far you've wandered, it is because of who you are, you are a child of God. And maybe you need to hear that again today.